Good morning, everyone. Today is Sunday, July 17th, and our lesson today we are continuing in the, this keeps making noise. We are continuing in the sealed book, chapter 14. We are on verse 42. And it is a continuation of the parable of the vineyard. This has a lot of information in it. It is quite long. And it is the last chapter of the book. I just think it's interesting that this was chosen by the Lord, that it would be included in the sealed book, and that it's in such depth, and that it is the last chapter. So I believe there's just a lot here to learn. As a little recap, last week we were discussing how the Lord was using the fruits, the good fruits, and how he was continuing to place the fruits into the vineyard where they were needed, and continuing to face the problem of the bad fruits and the good fruits being intermixed, and having to graft things back to the way they were to get a solid amount of good fruit. We had ended with understanding that when it was saying in 41, like the very last sentence, "Who is it that has corrupted my vineyard?" I first thought that that was Satan. Satan certainly, I think, had a lot to do with it, but it also, if we had changed who to what in our mind as we're thinking of understanding everything, if we had asked the question, "What is it that has corrupted my vineyard?" And the answer last week, we came up with how the righteous became prideful. They became affluent. They became more concerned with themselves than with what the with what we're being taught is the righteous way of living. So it's important to know that the Lord does understanding that this is a continuation. When they talk about the vineyard, that's the world. When they talk about the time frames, it is the entire time frame from the beginning of the world to what we will come to know as the millennial time. All of that is included. Pride and possessions, people that hang on to those things will be considered among the wickedness or the bad fruit. And if we think of the fruit itself as being your feelings, your good feelings, your bad feelings, how they're produced, if we were a tree, you know, that's human nature. We have good feelings, but we also have the human nature that we have bad feelings. And the Lord is trying to teach us how to have more of the good feelings, how to move from the left hand of God to the right hand of God, how to prepare ourselves to love one another, to love ourselves, and to be ready for the celestial kingdom. It's a process. And so the whole allegory is how things do end up repeating themselves, that when he plants the tree and then he moves the tree into the other parts of the vineyard, that's the movement of the chosen people. But then what happens to them, and how we come back to we're still human, and how do we overcome that? And so starting in 42, I will read 42 and then we'll go on from there. So 42 says, And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, Let us go and hew down the trees of the vineyard and cast them into the fire, that they should not cumber the ground of my vineyard. For I have done all I could. What could I have done more for my vineyard? But behold, the servant said unto the Lord of the vineyard, Spare it a little longer. And the Lord said, Yea, I will spare it a little longer, for it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard. And in thinking about all of this, who is the servant? And we hear who is the servant a lot, the servant. So in my thinking, I believe the servant is the prophet that we follow. One of the duties of a prophet is to intercede between God and us. Noah did that. Noah gave the warning. Noah asked, and yet he talked to the Lord many times about how could he save more people. Moses was like that. Adam spent his life teaching and asking the Lord and spreading the truth of the gospel. Enoch.
Jeannie?
Yes.
But also, I think it's important that these great men who became prophets were also just men, just as Christ was a man.
Yeah.
And that they have a direct line to God in choosing to commune with him, to understand his nature, to be pure of heart, that God would commune with them one-on-one. And as Joseph Smith said, when people were saying, oh, these people are professing to prophesy, and he goes, oh, if that were all prophets, you know, that he wished that everybody would be able to prophesy. And in the DNC 46, those gifts of the Spirit, all of those are applicable to each of us, that we could attain any and all of those if our hearts are right and our desires are right. So when I think about the prophet interceding on our behalf, yes, and I'm grateful, but we too can know the Lord. We too can seek his face and have a direct one-on-one contact with him in lieu of our life, or for on behalf of our life and our family. So I just want to make sure that when I think of these, how it grieveth that he should lose the trees of his vineyard. My girlfriend had this 20 by 50 garden area that somehow in Flagstaff, and she had been growing it all summer so far, and the deer got in there and devastated and demolished everything in one night. And she was at my house just sobbing. She goes, Darla, how can I be this upset over a garden, over plants? And it's true. The Lord uses this vineyard as an allegory, and yet it's us that he's truly lamenting. And, you know, the servant saying, oh, spare them a little longer, just like the pleadings for Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? And so it's true. Anything that you love and you nurture and you watch grow, you want to see them be successful and to flourish. And so just seeing that pain and thinking about us and our desire, are we desirous to be all that we can be and to be righteous, so that in that sparing for a little longer that we can flourish and put off the fruit that is worthy of the Lord? Anyways, those are my thoughts.
Good ones. Anyone else?
Well, I love the whole empathy theme throughout the scriptures, you know, that the advocate, that you have to learn to think like him. If you want to be one with him, you have to feel like him. And then you also have to be more patient, you know, but it's also like what you said, Darla, that you resonate with the people surrounding you. You want to bless the people surrounding you. You want to be the maximum blessing with what God has given you to share And this whole process of really getting to know him and being able to love like him would put you in the position to have the right feelings to, like what we learn in the Martina Archives, also that that woman work with grace. So it's the same power of the priesthood, only it works with the sentiments we learn now. And I think this is very interesting about this chapter. Also 13, but especially this with the bitter fruit also, that he would use the bitter. You know, I think I was talking with Bauke about this. Why is it that it is in the book, all over the Book of Mormon, with the duality that we should choose, you know? And now it's really like, where do I point my finger on? And it has enormous consequences. So I think this is also what he's learning us here. All I could, what could have I done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that you should understand that he is really, really patient, and that we need the prophet, you know, to, yeah, but they're doing so, you know, that he really, and that for me is one of the hardest things lately, to feel that pain, to really learn to look at my friends or even my family, that you learn to understand why they close their own door or put their guard down. And this is easier always to see with the other one, but we have to apply it to ourselves. So what have I done to dig about and prune and fertilize and to really appreciate all that we're giving to knowing how to approach him, you know, with loving the commandments, because that's what nobody wants. Nobody wants to be told what to do, but that's the whole trick. If you feel it, that it's no other way, or this is the best way, or the only way, then you can grow in confidence probably. And now I don't feel so much I have to convince people like before. I only feel humbled and to know. Sorry.
Nay.
That's a big change for me, because I was always spreading the seed. And it's now become more quiet in the scale of it. I can have my wife to testify.
Well, if we're changing, I think as we're learning, we're changing. If we, you know, the Lord said, what could I have done more? He came to this earth and died on the cross for us. What more could he have done? That right there is just the thought. But, you know, we think of this as we're pruning and taking care of the, but he came and died on the cross for us, for our sins. And it was the only way that we would be able to return. Such a great sacrifice. And then to hear people not want to listen to him, it's heartbreaking at times. But when I was trying to tell my friend that the Lord doesn't want three separate branches coming from Joseph Smith, that was the true church. Why would he want three separate branches? And that we need to unite. And Stephen's answer was, well, we're not going to unite. They have to join us, because we're the true church, being LDS. And my heart just sank, because you know that's wrong. And yes, okay, I'm going to let you think about that. And I'm going to give you another chance. We'll talk about this again. You know, that's got to be the way the Lord is feeling too. Like, I don't want to give up. So.
Yeah, and what I find interesting is about the servant. He's like Moses.
Yeah, same thing.
God also wanted to wipe the people away, and then Moses starts pleading. And here also, and because it's interesting now that Kate Bush is back in the charge with running up that hill, and then between brackets, make a deal with God. And yeah, he's making a deal with God, but in order to do that, you need to have the right sentiments, and you need to know God to know what kind of sentiments he appreciates to put his power into practice. Interesting. And he only needs a couple of words to convince the Lord. Spare it a little longer.
Yeah.
So that was a short plea. Still interested in the dash that's there, of course. Before, but behold.
Yeah.
But yeah, and these are my thoughts.
Good. Who would like to read 43?
Can I?
Yes. Oh. Harm, you go with 43, and Darla, you do 44.
Let us therefore take the branches of these, which I have planted in the low parts of my vineyard, and graft them on the tree from which they proceeded, that is, in the original graft, and pluck from the tree the branches that give the most bitter fruits, and graft in its place the natural branches coming from the original tree, so that the tree does not die, but preserve for me your roots to comply with my purpose. This is for me, you know, if you run into somebody you really wouldn't love to, but it has to be like that, that you are tested, you know, with your patience. And I think there must be something like that, with a bit of that he has some magnificent plan here, you know. Only the most bitter fruits, and then some little changes, you know, that he can use it, that he can use all this energy, and it's in there. It has to be the choice, you know. That has to be the thing, that not with force, but by because you're moved,
mm-hmm,
to comply with my purpose. The roots, because that's, I think, that's happening now with the Torah and all the mathematics and the things in these five books of Moses. That's what everybody has, you know. It there's nothing there which doesn't have to be there. And now, through the sealed book, we can reroute and rewire and hack your own history. We've been brainwashed.
Yeah.
So I really love this, with the original and the bitter. And so that's my thoughts. And low parts, maybe. Eh? Yeah. Still, it's not. It's still not totally certain.
So there's two things that I was just thinking while Harm was saying all of that, which brought to mind. Number one, preserve for me your roots. So the Lord's talking to the servant, or talking to us, but your roots. So is that us, our roots? Are those the roots that we came from heaven with? Is that the core of ourselves, that is the knowledge and love for God? that we preserve that, we don't lose that. I think that's important. You know, he doesn't want the trees to die. He wants the roots to be strong and to comply with his purpose. And the other two things is twice in this paragraph, he uses the term original, original graft, original trees. Is that the original understanding of God, the church, God's church on earth? I think those, that's something to ponder about.
Yeah, I think that is the whole thing. You know, we have the image of God. It's all there, but we have to open our heart to be retuned. And then I probably suggest that we get to really appreciate the history of the 12, you know, with the why scatter, why scatter and then gather, why hide stuff. You really have to be in awe with the purpose, because he doesn't say what comply with my purpose. He doesn't say it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why what Bauke said yesterday. Why is it all so symbolic?
Yeah, that's what was in the lesson last week. Don't know who said that, but why is he making it clear without making it clear?
He wants to us to figure it out. Mm-hmm. The whole that you would ponder it or sing it all day and talk about it all night. Mm-hmm. That it would, because it's some the other thing is always flashing, you know, and that's the gold and the success and so there must be something exciting about it. And I think that's the whole thing with Isaiah also, that he called it strange and stuff like that. And why hide this thing? Why the stuff with the ring in the couch? Why make it so strange? I think he loves that. It's a great story. If you open your heart to believe. But yeah.
I think 44 lends a little to this also. Darla, could you read that, please?
Of course. And behold, the roots of the natural branch of the tree which I planted where I please are still alive, scattered throughout all of the land of my vineyard, that I may preserve them also for the purpose of mine. I will therefore take its branches and graft them again into the original tree. Yea, I will graft them upon the branches of the original tree, that I may also preserve the roots unto myself, that when they are strong enough, they will bring forth good fruits for me, and I may have glory in the fruit of my vineyard.
So this is God saying, this is my goal.
It's a bit like I am that I am, that I may glory in the fruit.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? And you really can enjoy more if you put in the hard work. Isn't that so always?
Mm-hmm. Well, you learn by doing the hard work.
Yeah.
So as the roots of the natural branches, would it be okay to say the natural branches are Jesus's true church? That's
so.
The beginning. And I planted them where I wanted to do it so he could spread the church, the knowledge. And a lot of it's still alive, scattered throughout, that I may preserve them.
Maybe it's the members of the church without walls.
Yeah. Us.
Yeah, and everywhere where I pleased, you know. I think it is enormous, also with the whole Enoch in Ethiopia and maybe the Chinese and everywhere can come.
The plant. Truth is everywhere. That's the discernment we need to use.
Because
I just read this little booklet. It's called Love. And it's from Sudna Gethanat. And it's from the Bhagwan, I believe. I don't know if you know the Bhagwan.
Of course.
I know you do. I don't know if everybody else does, but so much knowledge in there. It's just amazing. And I also found that so interesting, you know. So you just have to look for the right waters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That can flow through you.
Well, it's water is also interesting in Hebrew. Yes.
Well, that was just a thought that, you know, the Doctrine and Covenants advises us to seek knowledge in all the good books. For four times it's in there, in the Doctrine and Covenants as a whole. So, yeah.
Seek the Lord, ask for information, knock on the door so it can be opened and build your relationship.
Yeah, and if it makes you a better person, you know.
Yeah.
If it makes you have the feelings of the names of God, then I think that's wonderful.
So the sentence there where it says that when they are strong enough, they may bring forth good fruits for me.
Yeah.
If we're thinking of the Church Without Walls, if we're thinking of the Second Invitation, when they're strong enough, aren't we in a learning period right now? Maybe the Lord wants us to learn more, faster. But when they're strong enough, so more is to come. Because when we get strong enough, there's going to be another step, I think.
Yes. I totally agree with that. We have to not be amazed at the power which will come through this.
Right.
The strong, I really feel like I'm in a primal school in a way.
Primary. Primal school.
Primal school.
Yeah.
But also, isn't that helpful? They're still, are still alive. Their roots.
Yeah.
The world. Wow. Still alive, scattered throughout. Hey, that's hidden. That can't be all the people. So,
last night, when Mauricio was talking about, at one point he was saying that one of the purposes of the talk that he had given yesterday was to talk about strength and faith and how they interact with each other. Strength is truth, and they faith draws us to the Lord to overcome obstacles that we cannot do without the faith in the Lord. So overcoming obstacles is our growing, and that faith also is growing. And he was saying that the faith is giving us the strength. And when the time comes, that strength is going to be so much more powerful than we could ever imagine. And so we are going to be at some point strong enough to bring forth the good fruits for Jesus. I think that everything is starting to open our eyes and come together, that And throughout a lot of his talk, he had said that history repeats itself, the history of the Bible. And certainly what we've seen with the back and forth of the grafting and the wickedness and the good and the bad fruit is history moving about.
Amen to that, sister. And it's also like in the Americas, especially in the Americas, with the also with power of a government and stuff.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
Well, it's everywhere. It's globally.
But also the whole truth. Don't underestimate the power of faith. You know.
Right.
And it's not. It's all about growing in faith, because he can't. That's also what I loved also in the Book of Mormon, that he could do bigger miracles, you know, because they had more faith.
Right.
So, and that's sealed, also, I think.
The sealed book talks about that a lot, about the miracles that we will be able to do.
So if we could hold that concentration, that focus, on looking at the good, even when the bad is happening, you know, that you could still feel the love for everybody, and focus literally that you could control your thoughts, that combined with the right empathy to help each other forward,
mm-hmm.
then you could grow. But we didn't have the hardware in a way, you know, like with the names and the, so that is so profound impact. But we should maybe read two more verses, because the swapping is coming ahead.
Okay.
And the swapping, that's the whole thing.
Valkia, can you do 45 and do you want to do 45 and 46?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. And it came to pass that they took of the natural tree, which had become wild, and grafted in the natural trees, which had also had become wild. And they also took from the natural trees, which had become wild, and grafted in the original tree. That is, though they were many wild branches, all shared in common the sap of the original tree, so that the Lord of the vineyard said to the servant, do not pluck the branches out of the trees, except those that are very bitter, and you shall graft in them as I say. And the Lord of the vineyard then said to his servant not to pluck out these wild branches, which were scattered throughout all the vineyard. Thus he said, he will, quote, take care again of these trees to fulfill that which was written by Nephi concerning the Lord of the vineyard, when he shall stretch forth his hand a second time to recover his people, which is of the house of Israel, for the purpose of swapping the branches, that is, grafting the natural branches in their original tree, so that the Lord of the vineyard came to rejoice for having preserved the roots and also the branches of the first fruit.
There it comes all together.
Yeah.
I love that it says, and all shared in common the sap of the original tree. What is the sap? It's the blood. It's the life force of the tree. And is that not what we do when we partake of the sacrament? Is that all of us who have been grafted in are all partaking of that blood, and that we all share that?
The true vineyard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good spot.
Yes.
And that's before the whole world was created, you know, this talk about the blood and the sap and the, how can we talk about this, and then we should get plants and maybe animals and symbolism, and then eventually you would die and then they would drink like symbolic of the of the wine, and it, yeah, it's all here. And so that the Lord of the vineyard came to rejoice for having preserved, because he's not feeling it now, you know. It's not there. It's not there yet. But here is this hope, is his own hope for the whole thing and all the patience and I have done everything. But this isn't that great, swapping the branches. And I think that's about the that's talking about the fullness that we would appreciate every you know, culture and intelligence where it comes from. That you have patience and urgency, of course, because that's also what we feel a lot.
Yes, and I can add, we talked about the sap of the original tree, and that it might be the, or it is the sacrament. I think it's also the sacrament. I think the sap is the life force of the tree, which is in the beginning, you know, the clear water.
Totally true.
So, and those clear waters are the feelings that we need to have in common to be part of his body.
And it's also the word, the sap, which was preserved in the scriptures, which I maybe also can point to the sealed book, you know, that it, the sealed book fits. If you know, love the scriptures, and you know Moses and Moroni and Nephi, you can, I think if you pray about it, everybody can feel it. If you're familiar with that scripture, you could feel it. And that's why we have to study it for ourselves, probably. And the first invitation was that you could go there and feel it, maybe even stronger, that you should, because that was really literally. And now it's, we're all scattered all over the world, because nobody has a excuse anymore, because everybody has have read it, has been, have an opportunity with a free PDF or whatever. There's no excuse that you have to be educated or something.
Right.
I think that's also very interesting about the second interpretation, that's why you couldn't do it 200 or 400 years ago. People were not ready for feelings and DNA and the power of names and chiastic structures and the past and the future intertwined. You have to be a little bit interested already and be moved by the spirit to be able to recognize this, probably.
Yeah. Says that he's going to stretch forth his hand a second time, which is now.
Yes.
Swapping the branches is in quotes. So if we stretch this from thinking of we're cutting this branch off and this branch and we're moving all these branches around, and we internalize it into people, we are moving people into positions to be the strength to bring, to teach others where those good feelings are and produce the good fruit. And we're going to have to be in proximity to the bad fruit in order to teach them. That's why we're kind of all in the middle of everything. And the Lord is saying, you know, don't take away all the bad fruit. It's like he wants them to be in certain places. The second paragraph says, we didn't read that. We're still that. So that the Lord's vineyard can rejoice for having preserved the roots and the branches of the first fruit. He's using us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's utilizing us.
There you go.
And also, Jeannie, in expanding on your flow, Mauricio has been grafted back in when the LDS Church was bitter, back to the original that was reestablished with Joseph Smith. That original roots that were established turned bitter and then had to be cut off and reestablished, all the same sap. And you can take that even further with the original gospel, the Adamic language, the stuff that transpired in the Garden of Eden and how things got bitter just with Cain and having to reestablish Abel's birthright into Seth, you know, again, stuff cut off and reestablished, and then things were lost and bitter, and Abraham stands in, you know, then we've got Jacob, we've got Noah, that there's Moses, there's all these times that things are going back to the original, and we think in reestablishing and bearing good fruit, when you look at each time that this was reestablished, cut off and grafted, good fruit did come from it. So, you know, you think, why is all this back and forth, back and forth? Well, as it was mentioned last night, history does repeat itself. What can we learn to create a different outcome?
Exactly. To love and to learn.
Yeah, excellent.
Great.
And that's faith building too, when we learn that we're part of this and history repeats itself, but people before us have been successful. We're in a battle, but it's one we're going to win. You know, that should take some of the fear away that we have, that human nature part, to move forward.
Guys, yeah, that's right.
We're figuring it out.
Yeah. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Inner winner. Yeah.
This is really cool. Now I'm beginning to understand how exciting this parable is and how it has so much truth.
It's all there. It's amazing. This is the best part.
Yeah,
this is the best part, you know. And why doesn't anybody in the church has more interest in this fifth chapter of Jacob? It will come, you know. Yeah. We have to learn. You can't blame it on them. We have to.
You know, it's fun. They make those jokes about, you know, oh yeah, did you hear about so and so got shot? But luckily, he had scriptures in his pocket and it stopped the bullet. Oh, really? Yes. Well, where did the bullet land? Oh, Jacob 5, you know, as if people never get through or past Jacob 5.
Oh, really?
And it's
really?
Strong That's enough and hard like enough to stop a bullet.
It's like the Isaiah of the Bible.
Yeah, probably. You know,
but the difficult part. Yeah, you have to work for it. It's like it's the calm before the storm. The storm comes and you have to excel and persevere and push through it to then get the rainbow. You know, it's all part of the process. We can't judge the process. We have to put in the hard work to reach the summit. And by getting through 5 with a real curiosity and a desire to have an open hand and an open mind and an open heart to really receive, then it's a joy, not, oh, we're still on Jacob 5. We're not done with this yet. You know, where is our heart in our journey to the Lord?
So one of the references here is LDS 2 Nephi 29:1, and I'm going to read that. So it says, but behold, there shall be many at that day when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenants, which I have made unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people, which are of the house of Israel.
Again, he's taking it all the way back to the house of Israel. And when he set his mark of, hey, this is what we're doing, I mean, can you guys stay on task? No, we got to scatter you. Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Next.
Yeah, it's the same program. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was all in there from the beginning. And
the root, the it's like at some point the veil is going to be lifted. The sap is there, the blood is there. And we're going to we're doing the work now, like Darla says, we're doing the hard work now.
The veil has already been lifted.
Yes.
Those who have eyes to hear, mm-hmm. eyes see, they don't hear, and ears to hear, that those, there are many where the veil has been parted.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Knowing that it's possible creates opportunity for us to do it. Instead of waiting for that prophet on the wall to intercede for us. Step it up, people. Let's do it ourselves so that we can better support the prophet in his role.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yes, awesome. You're right. You're right. And learn to use the power you're given, and that you can make your calling as big as the Lord wants you. Yeah. So true. And it's fun. And it's great. And it's amazing. And we can do it because they did it before. We can do it. Mm-hmm. We can do it again. And it's the same thing. And that's also reassuring, you know, and that we are alive, still alive, still. It's here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just our small group, I'm going to share this fun story that's fun for me. There was the skateboarder who was doing a TED Talk for MIT. And my brother owns a skate company. And so he travels the world putting on skate competitions. So I had heard this analogy from my brother. And he said, this guy invented like 320 of the 380 skate tricks in skateboarding. You know, there's street skating and then there's competition bowl skating, that they're different. And he had created the majority of these tricks that you can do on skateboards. And he was giving this lecture, a TED Talk to MIT. And he said, it's a mathematical equation. I see the trick in my mind. So once again, it's created spiritually. And the next step is creating it physically. He didn't say that part. I'm just interjecting on what he said. But he's like, I see the trick in my mind and I see the mathematical equations. And then I work and I work and I work until I can make the trick happen in the physical world. And he said, and this one trick I was working on took me a year to get the trick down. And I posted a video of it on YouTube. And I got responses instantly that people were doing it in 24 hours. They were able to master that trick. And it's the phenomena of when somebody is given something, like Tesla is the one that really created the light bulb, but Edison gets all the credit for it, you know? And yet all of the thoughts that went into what Edison, what's his name? Tesla saw to bring it into the physical realm. And this guy, by creating the skateboard trick, all these hundreds of kids were instantly doing this trick within a week. How is that possible? That's the way the Lord designs it. Somebody is pure enough to receive the insight spiritually. And then they have to work it out in their mind, do the hard work, so that it can manifest in the physical realm. That's the second birth. The first birth is spiritual. The second birth is the physical realm. And then lots of people can follow with ease because they know it's possible. So just by us knowing a true one-on-one relationship with Christ is possible, it's much easier for us, because Abraham knew it was possible because of what he had seen. He knew this stuff was true. He knew that there was a pattern. And Jacob, because he saw, Israel, Isaac, or what is it? Something in Jacob. Anyways, my mind's not. But all of those progenitors were possible because of what they saw their father do. And so us knowing that a relationship with Christ is possible, they've already done the hard work. We need just to bring it on. We need to do our part to have that pure heart and be an open receptacle to receive.
Yeah,
that's perfectly. That's great. I'm thinking about the similitude with Jesus, you know, that Abraham was before, and now it's easier because he walks the earth. You know, that we have, and that's right. What you said also with the music and with sports. If you have heard it, do somebody or seen it, apart from the looking at the movements, you know, especially with music, if you can hear it, that it could be done, and then the scale. I think this is what's happening now, the measure of Enoch and the measure of human, then the angel, that is the same measure, that it is a something beautiful in the verhouding and sorry,
the measurements,
wow. the balance between the things, you know, there is the beauty, I mm-hmm. think. But it's so interesting that you first see it, and that he works with dreams mm-hmm. and visions, if you ponder it enough.
But dreams are secondary. He gives it to you in your wakeful state. And if you choose not to see it, he'll bring it from other forms. And if you still choose not to see it, then it's going to come through your subconscious in the dream state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
If you're not paying attention in your wakeful state. But the thing is, when you see these masters like Bach and Mozart and all of these masters, they were open to receiving this inspiration, came through them. They were an instrument and utilized. And Christ is the ultimate example of what's possible. He was in the physical realm doing this crap to show us it's possible. And right. So there's the glory. It's like the light at the end of the tunnel that makes this climb to the summit possible and doable through this excruciating work. It's possible.
It's possible that I may have glory in the fruit.
Yeah.
And that's the whole glory part of, I think, also not linear, but that you remember. Remember, we always say in the sacrament. Always, that you would always be able to remember and grow in your calling
and go back to the first fruits, you know, that that it's the branch that he's preserved the roots and the branches of the first fruits. We're going to see all of it.
Yeah, that's the fullness.
That's pioneering.
Yes.
I think
I love you guys. This was great today. Thank you so much for all being here, and Balkia putting this together, and Jeannie stepping up for JT. I just love you guys. Suzanne for being here in spirit and in ear as she's traveling. It's just awesome that we all can come when we can come.
Very good.
Amen. Beautiful spoken. Amen. Thank you, Sister
Dolly. Thank you all so much.
I enjoyed today. Let me go ahead and stop the recording. Yeah.